difficult for me to have Rogenus here.
He spoke here a while ago when I was overseas, and I never heard him. But when I got back, everybody said, we've got to get him back again. And over the last while, everyone was saying, when are we getting him back? So I thought, listen, he must have done something right, because this is a very critical audience. And Baruch Hashem, with Elie Gitzkiewicz's help here, we managed to get Rogenus here. And it's a big Swiss. And when I heard what the topic was, I was even more excited. Because when I talk about the chashivas of learning, people say, oh, here he goes again. Somebody else will say it. It might actually sink in a little bit. Just as the sponsor, the breakfast is sponsored in part by Adam Freiman's family, for Shlomo, for Tuvia, Ben Sara Etta, Yishai Levi, Ben Tala Rut, and the Soch called Reisa Amisoch. That's it. And without further ado, off you go. Something to drink, coffee?
Thank you very much. I appreciate the invitation. Every time I come here, everybody's eating. But I'm sure people don't know. But
it's called a breakfast.
If it wasn't a breakfast, there'd be about four people. Yeah.
I was asking Rebelli, I don't remember what I spoke about last time. I was worried about saying the same thing twice. But he told me, don't worry, nobody else remembers either. I should be okay. I'm going to mention one quick idea. I mentioned something about talking about Amelus and Tara. So, yeah, no problem. Let's mention one thing. We're going to start something from the Parsha.
Come sit closer.
Something relevant to the Parsha. That connects, I think, to in Yonah D'Oyman, what we're speaking about over here, especially this Koilo, which I specifically wanted to speak about. Okay? But Maisa, when you read through the Parsha, you see a very interesting idea about Balak, about Bilam. At the whole time, when you read, if you just look at the Psukim without opening a Rashi, the man looks like a tzaddik. Lo ucha lavor et pi elokim. I can never go and disagree with the Kodesh Baruch. The whole time, this Bilam person sounds like he's a good guy. He's always saying, I can't disagree with him. I got to do what's right. I got to do whatever he says. Didn't I tell you, Lois Bar Marti, I already told you a few times that I can't disagree. I tried and I wanted to do what you're asking me, but I can't do whatever Hashem wants. And then you look at Chazal, you look at Rashi, and you see that he wasn't exactly Tocho Kebara, as they say. You know, we all know he was a big Rasha. He uses Nevuah for all the wrong things. And the question is, so what exactly happened? What exactly was wrong with Bilam? How did Chazal, where did Chazal see in the Psukim? Or where did they see that something was wrong here with the way Bilam was acting? So the answer is the Rabbi Chanan. Which from this Rabbi Chanan, I want to build a very important idea, important concept which we can learn from. Rabbi Chanan writes in Kuntres Tiberi Sofrim, he writes over there about the Chashivut of Derabbanan, about the importance of Derabbanan. He writes that there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. It says, "Ubanu tabamos lebal asher lo tiviti velo dibarti veloi alsa alibi." The pasuk says that when they built the bamos, it was lo tiviti, lo dibarti veloi alsa alibi. And he says, what are these three different things? Lo tiviti tivuyim, they're mitzvahs Hashem, to do them or not to do them. That's what we all know, all the mitzvahs in the Torah. It says dibur has to do with amirot, things that a Kodesh Baruch Hu says. And not necessarily he tells us to do, but we understand it. We should be doing it because he tells us an Indian to do it, sometimes a mitzvah kiyumis, etc. And then he brings, and this is the main thing, he says, lo'alsa alibi. Lo'alsa alibi means that I didn't want, I wasn't interested in. Says Rav Chanan, these are things that are not written in the Torah, they're not commanded, they're not written anywhere, we don't know, but we can all understand, for a person who looks a little bit deeper, who understands, who wants to know rather, such a person will know to keep such mitzvahs. Such a person will be able to know to keep such mitzvahs. The difference that separates between a person who's interested, a real yid, or the Avos HaKadoshim, as opposed to a Bilam, is someone who is also a Libi. He doesn't only pay attention to the Tzivui Hashem. He cares about what Hashem wants. To do something, sometimes maybe a little bit extra. Many people ask about doing a Chumrah. If it's written, it's written. If it's not written, it's not written. Why do I have to do it? What's the point of taking something extra? Why do I have to take on something? The answer is, also a libi. Sometimes there's also a libi. I'm interested without telling you that you should figure it out. I'm interested for you to take the push and being able to do a little bit extra. That's called a chumrah. That was the problem of Bilam. Because if you look at the pasuk all the time, every time in the pasuk, what does it say? lo yuchal la'avor et pi Hashem. He's always expressing the peh of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. When Hashem said, he's only busy trying to listen to bull bidyuk, exactly what needs to be listened to. He's never interested in trying to check maybe what does Hashem want, to figure out what the ratzon Hashem is. He's always busy trying to pay attention word for word what Hashem says. And that's why we always see him trying to be able to say nibu litchamek. He's trying to get himself out of it, trying to get around what Hashem says, trying to figure out what to do, etc. That's the getter of it. As opposed to an Avraham Avinu by Akedis Yitzchak, even after a Kadosh Baruch Hu sends a malach to tell him to stop, he still is interested to try to do a little bit more. But maybe I could do this. A Kadosh Baruch Hu said originally, I should do this. He's always looking to do that. That's the difference between Talmidei Avraham Avinu and Talmidei of Bilam. The difference is someone who's looking to do a little bit more. He's trying to see, what can I do not to do it? How many people call the Rav and say, Rabbi, I don't want a chumrah, I just need a heter. I need a heter because, you know, I feel guilty. I can't go to Gehenna. That's basically what they're saying. So I'd rather be, your tikkun should be on the rabbi. That's what they get, right? I could always tell within the first minute of the conversation exactly where the conversation is about to go. About always looking to be able to find, sometimes taking a chumrah is a good thing to do. It's an extra push because you want to do Ratzon Hashem. To be able to figure out what Ratzon Hashem is. The disciple even writes this in Parsha Vayikra. He writes about Baalei Tshuva. I'm sure there's one or two Baalei Tshuva in this room, probably.
We're all Baalei Tshuva.
I was going to say maybe there's one or two who are not Baalei Tshuva in this room, rather.
Okay.
And, oh, right, that's it.
Take care of ourselves, right?
Yeah, we should be Shabbat Shuvah, Kol Yom, every night, right? That's true, 100%. No, right? 100%.
We never know where we're
going to
die.
No way what?
We never know when we're going to die.
That's right. Anyway, so this idea of a Baal Tshuva, the special says, even though we're all Mitzvah equally, but he says, look how they're interested, how much more a Baal Tshuva gets into things, how much more he tries to do an extra, tries to push a little bit extra. He talks about Gerim, when a person comes and converts, also a person present, he says, everybody was equally Mitzvah. But when a person feels he did a little bit extra, he did Ratzon Hashem, he took from his own initiative, as opposed to doing everything just because I want to be Yotzezayin, so then that takes a different perspective. It's a different way of looking things. When a person's interested to go and take an extra step. So here I want to ask what we say, when we talk about the doing Ratzon Hashem, when we talk about the doing of Ratzon Hashem, I want to ask if I could say a dangerous question. A dangerous question, which I'm not sure if you would have heard such a question, because it's not always the best question to ask.
No dangerous questions.
Every question is allowed?
For sure. Look at the Gemara.
Only if they're answered.
the questions are more interesting than the answers.
So hear this concept, okay? There's a question here that needs to be asked. We all know that there are all different types of jobs in this world, all different types of people that are working in this world and doing different things. Hashem, we're in a place here where many people are learning in the morning, working in the afternoon or night or whatever it is, keeping your hours. And there are many different people that are doing different things in this world. Now the truth is, a lot of the kavod, or a lot of the money especially, is usually going to those people that are doing those positions, or doing different jobs, etc. And then we all know, Baruch Hashem, I know you're growing in the right atmosphere over here in Orgrim, and you get these ideas that the Torah is the Ikar, and over here is where you have to spend your time and be Mashgiah, and a person wonders, when he hears this, why? Why is it so? Well, Maisa, when you look around the world, what's productive? If a person is the head of a hanalah of a hospital, or if a person is a good doctor or a surgeon, or even if I get even lower, a mechanic is a surgeon for cars, right? Same type of thing, no difference, right? And all these things are very productive, so to speak. A psychologist is there out to help people to a certain extent. Say again. Anyway, yeah, Gemara says by Kalim Shviratam Zehu Mitatam. When a car breaks, it's called his death. But anyways, all these ideas of different types of jobs or professions that people have around, they seem to be very productive. And then you have all the people sitting in Koilo, all the people working, and you have especially Talmidei Chachamim, and you wonder, so where is this leading to? Where is it going? If I could say, like I said, a dangerous question, but what's the purpose? We speak about the importance of it, but what does it contribute to the world, if I could use those words? Right? That's the question. This idea when we speak about Ratzon Hashem. So here I want to express to you the answer based on a mashal. And it's a mashal which I think really, really brings out the answer to this question. And first of all, you have to realize this concept. The answer is that there was a business which I know, and I know there's a lot of businesses these days like this, actually, where you start up a computer startup, right? You start up a computer thing that can invest millions, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars in the startup. And they put a lot of effort, a lot of people are very invested into it, how much kochos are put into it for a lot of time. And then there was even one not far from here, which I was speaking to the guy who was the supporter of the whole system over here. And basically I knew many people that were working there. Everybody was walking around in suits, in their tie and their jacket, very mechubad. Everybody was getting lunch, not breakfast like here. They were getting lunch every day. They were getting lunch every day. And they were getting paid a very nice salary to be able to take home on a monthly basis. They were able to take home a good salary all the time. And you walk into this place and you go, wow, this is chashuv. How everybody's mesudar here, everybody's, you know, there's obviously something very chashuv, very important going on here. Obviously we see some importance going on here. And then Pitom, I was speaking to the guy in charge, and he said, everything's fantastic here. We have salesmen, we have customer service, we have programmers, we have everything going on. There's one thing we're missing. What was that? The product! There was no product! He was so frustrated that they had this whole thing, but the product was not developing. There's no proper product here. They can't put anything up. They've been doing it for about a couple of years without all the background that I told you, but the product was missing. There was absolutely no product. And it was such a point of frustration for him that he didn't even know what to do. He didn't even know what to do about the situation. Because without a product, everything else can be buffed up and everything can look nice and you can get all the workers that you want to do everything you're doing, but it's only quality control. It's only here to be around to take care of the scenario. So the background will be okay, but you need to have the etzem zach, as they say. You need to have the thing itself. You can't have it without the meat and potatoes. Without the product, you're wasting your time.
I think Facebook and Google are also not products. Are they making a lot of money?
They're making a lot of money even without a product. It's just a facade. I actually heard one. Someone told me. Someone once told me a good part of what you're saying about that. He actually said, very nice. Everything in these days is all on computers these days. Everything is up online. Because when Mashiach comes, it'll be very easy to get rid of all the evil, right? All the evil is all just abstract. It's not real anymore. When it used to be something real, so then it was a lot harder. Now, it's all I used to do is just nullify all the programs, get rid of everything. Like you said, get rid of Facebook and Google and everything. Shalom and hunky dory. And then we're ready for Mashiach to come. It makes it a lot easier for the bitul hara. It'll be kehevel haval and shuta kemashmal.
Possible for this.
Anyways, so that's this idea. So what I'm trying to say is the same idea. It's the same exact thing. You have to realize with everything around you that you see is here to have people around and to keep people alive and to keep things okay. But it's no use without a product. You need to have the etzem zach. You need to have the thing itself in order for survival to happen. In order for something to be around, everything else is a waste of time unless you have the product. And the product is the Torah, like the Torah always keeps telling us, Kiyam Chayenu Baruch Amenu. It's that life, when we think of Kiyam Chayenu Baruch Amenu, it gives us life. It's nothing to do with giving us life. It is life itself. Life is not when a person is still breathing, and when he's not, we all know when we were kids, as opposed to maybe now when your kids are kids right now, you cut off the tail of a lizard. And what happens? It looks like it's alive, it's still moving, it's still twitching. That's not life. We know it's dead, it's just twitching, a few nerve endings. So they're keeping it going. That's, as the moral says, chayim de mikra. That's not chayim de etzem. That's not intrinsic. Intrinsic life is the product. It's something real. It has to be something that you really have in your kishka, something that you feel within your bones, that you know that is what it's alive for. It says, and you know the Gemara in Bezar, Amrei Shlokesh Vayir Vayiboker Yom HaShishi. It says Yom HaShishi. Why does it say Yom HaShishi? Because it's referring to the 6th of Sivan by Shua. Matan Torah, the whole world is here for Matan Torah. And the Gemara says, as we all know, that if you're Mekabel, fantastic, but if not, everything goes back to Tohu Vavohu. What is this, a threat? If we don't Mekabel, so we're in big trouble, it's just a threat of punishment? Could be, but it's a little bit more than that, because if there's no product, then there's no reason to be around anymore. It's not a punishment, it's nothing to do with a punishment, it's an automatic consequence. There's no reason for the company to be around when you're missing the essence of the product. There's nothing here. That's why it's not around. We have the first 2,000 years of the world was tohu, was nothingness. There was nothing around. Why? Because there was no Torah. The next 2,000 years, then we start Torah. Then you could start something that exists. Without that, there's nothing else to be around. You understand what I'm saying? It's a very important idea. It's very funny. I'm sure many of us know, we must have some relatives at least. Elderly people. Elderly, I'm talking about. Elderly, they can't function anymore. Whether they're in a retirement hotel,
etc. In their 80s and 90s, I'm here.
Already not so functional, and you know, so what are they doing? More or less playing bingo in the thing with their friends, playing a little bit of extra Sudoku, etc. Whatever they're able to do to pass the time. And you ask them, and sometimes you speak to them, and you ask them how things are, and what do they always say? A typical line. They say, Ayikara Briut. That's what they say. Anywhere else. As long as I'm healthy. And you sit and wonder, you go, is that true? As long as you're healthy? What's the point? One more day of life. I don't mean to be cynical, but just another day of life, that's what we're here for? Just another day of life? Is there no waste of air over here? Maybe it's meant not just for Ikar Priut. Maybe it's Ikar for something else to happen. Maybe something is supposed to be. I heard from Robert Goldstein once. He was neighbors with Ramosha Feinstein, Theodore. Robert Goldstein grew up next to Ramosha. His father was very close to Ramosha. And he said one time he was walking into his building in FDR Drive, and he saw on the two benches there, they lived not far from a retirement hotel, and there was a few old men sitting there counting the cars that were passing by, doing something exciting like that. And his father pointed out to him, see all these old men over here? All these old men, this is what they do. This is how they're spending the last years of their life. He said, there's another old man around here, and he pointed upstairs to the second floor where Moshe Feinstein was sitting, and he said, he's busy in his last years writing up tshuvas left and right. He's still busy right now in the middle of being Amal Batara. He's incredibly productive. To the last day, he was mamish busy writing up his tshuvas. That's where it comes from. There's all the difference in the world when a person is busy working on the product or is busy working on the things mitzaviv. Now, everything else is important. Again, of course everything is important. We need to survive here, and everything that we do is all important, but we have to focus and always be connected to the product. I think a great mashal to this, and I always say this, some people have their ups, and some people have their downs, and some people have their differences. I always tell people, and it's very true, and it's all related to what I'm saying, is you can have an electric appliance. You can have an electric appliance which sometimes is on, and sometimes it's off. Sometimes your oven works, sometimes it doesn't, sometimes your microwave works, sometimes it doesn't. It always has its faults and its good things. The older products always last a lot longer than nowadays. Nowadays, everything seems to last only a few days, like marriages. And then at the same time, I meant the nowadays marriages, I meant. And at the same time, we go, and what's the difference? I tell them, what's the difference? The difference is, if the product is plugged in, then you have a chance of turning it on again. If it's not plugged in, then it's finished. It's dead. There's nothing to do about it. You always have to make sure that you're always plugged in. You always have to make sure that you're always connected. If you're always connected, sometimes the switch might be off. Sometimes the switch might be on. It might be on and off sometimes, but at the same time, as long as you're connected, as long as the plug, as long as you have some connection, as long as you're connected, like you're doing over here all the time, Baruch Hashem, people have a busy day, some people have more, some people have less, some people are wasting their time, some people are not. And Baruch Hashem, you keep the connection. Every you think the couple hours that you're here, 2-3 hours that you're here is just an extra 2-3 hours? No, it's not like that. We say the Gita Boyam and Balai, you have to learn the whole entire day. Who can learn the whole day? Sometimes you have to work, you have to daven, you have to go to the bathroom, you have to do everything. The answer is if a person spends all his extra time doing what he can do, learning Torah, being able to spend his extra time for good things, it counts as if the whole entire day you have a day of learning. I will say, two people who have a 9-to-5 job, work a normal job. One guy goes home, he reads the newspaper, takes a little bit extra, puts up his feet on the sofa, the couch, watches TV, talks to his wife, goes to sleep, and starts another day. And another guy goes to Seder for 2 hours. So you say, okay, this guy is 2 hours more than this guy. That's not true, that's not accurate. The guy who learns 2 hours has 10 hours more than the other guy, because all those 8 hours was a means in order to get those 2 hours. So those 8 hours all turned into Ayikita Vayom Mavayim. It's all learning Torah. It's all counted as what's important. It's an incredible way of thinking. Say again?
Doesn't speak to his wife.
No, that's after hours. That's after hours. In between. I'll end with two quick points, so that will finish. Okay? First of all, if I would put in your bank, if a person would put in your bank, okay, not an incredible sum of money, and I'm saying it on purpose, 1,440 shekel a day into your bank, a day though, not a month, okay, a day, right? That's a brush salary in about a half a year. If he puts in 1,440 shekel every day into your thing, and at 12 o'clock midnight, when the clock strikes and you turn into a pumpkin, so too all the money disappears. It's nullified from the bank account. It disappears. 1,440 shekel every day gets put into your bank account, and then by the end of the nighttime, it disappears. It's not around anymore. So what would such a person do in such a case? He would hurry up.
Spend it.
And spend it. Any normal person would spend it. Only a shota wouldn't spend it, right? So here we have it. You get 1,440 minutes invested into your day every day. Because Baruch Hu gives you 1,440 minutes every day in order to be able to spend it, like you said. And by the end of the day, when the clock strikes 12, all those minutes disappear. What a bizbuz, what a chaval when a person does it. Just wasting money. The Gemara says, a shota is someone who throws away something he has, who doesn't keep something he has. How do you know the difference between a katan and a gadol? The Gemara says, how do you know the difference between a katan is someone who doesn't know when you give him a nut to throw it, and a rock, and he'll keep it, as opposed to a gadol knows to do the right thing with the right things. The difference between a person, the Chafetz Chaim used to say, the difference between a person who uses his time, it's not someone who's frum, it's someone who's intelligent, it's someone who has chokhmah. Someone who has a little bit of chokhmah to him, he's a person who knows, he knows how to take advantage. I see it a lot of times when you're sitting on a bus, for those of us who might sit on a bus, and you go and you see someone in front of you, and he's flipping on his iPhone down. A lot of times you're not even doing anything, you're just kind of like checking, because you have nothing else to do, so you're checking and checking and checking. I'm going to still be nice and say they're playing a game, and then if you get more advanced, you all know what can happen. The guy's busy on his phone for an hour and a half on the whole night trip, going to wherever he is, going on his phone and just looking and looking and looking. And I tell you the truth, when I see this, tell me if I'm wrong, but I see the same thing as if someone would be in a bus with a window rolled down, and he would have dollar bills, and he would just be throwing these dollar bills out the window, one after the other. And people would be looking, going, what are you doing, you crazy man? Get in and jump on him and bounce him. Give me the dollar. He'd just be throwing it while he's driving. $1 bill after the other. You get so annoying. This is money. This is important, right? What happens to time? Time is not important. Time is money. Right? Is that the same thing? It's the same exact thing. Sometimes when you see it, you can't see it on yourself, because when you're doing it on the bus, you're not going to see it. So look at someone else, okay? It'll help you for yourself. And it's it. If you see the guy throwing dollar bills out the window, it's frustrating. It's almost annoying to be able to see such a thing, and you have to take it and try to apply it to yourself. I'm going to end with a maisa from the Chazon Ish. A true maisa which I heard from the Baal HaMaisa, who heard it from this person himself. It was a maisa when the Chazon Ish was in his early 20s, he was a young Avrech. In a town in Poland. And over there, he was waiting in the Rav's office. And in walked in also Rav Henkin. Now Rav Henkin didn't know this was the Chazon Ish. Back then they didn't have all those Zvevan pictures. They didn't have the thing from the Bnei Brak. With all the pictures. They didn't know who this person was. So he sat there and waited in the waiting room for the Rav to come in. So Rav Henkin asked Chazon Ish, what's your name? He said, my name is Avram Yeshaya Krelitz. He said, oh, nice to meet you. And he asked him, so what do you do? He said, I'm a chenvani. I'm a storekeeper. His wife had a store at the time. See? And he said, I'm a chenvani. I take care of the store. So he goes, so what are you doing here? He said, I don't know. The Rav called me in to be able to talk to him. I'm not sure exactly what it is. So Rav Henkin already understood this. This guy probably had some din tara that he had to take care of. He had to go speak to the Rav to be able to fix him out. So he asked him, are you ever kovea itin latara? Do you ever get a chance to learn the Chazon Ish? I don't know if anyone's ever heard any stories of the Chazon Ish, but it's the one question you don't ask the Chazon Ish. He used to fall, and everyone knows he used to fall before he made it to his bed. So the lashon he said to him was, kishayesh panai lomdim. When I have a chance, I learn. Okay, nice, good balabas. He figures, obviously, the guy also was enrolled in Avram. Obviously, he was also here. And he said the Seder. He went in, Rav Henkin was called into the Rav's office. By the time he came out, he realized who he was just talking to. He realized that he got himself in trouble. He just realized he was talking to. He was actually called by the Rav because the Rav was going to Russia for a couple months. He was beckoned to go to the... And he needed a replacement for his rabbinical position. So he was calling on this 26-year-old, it was called the Chazon Ish, he was calling on him to take his place for the couple months while he's not over here. So that's what he is. But Rav Henkin, I heard this from the Baal HaMaisa, Rav Pamu knew him. Rav Pamu would always say, and it's written in the Torah of Melech, he would always say that Rav Henkin would always go around and say, he would always speak out, There's one thing that he took out from this whole conversation. He would always keep in his pocket this one line, which you put on your refrigerator. Kesheyesh p'nai lomdim. When there's a chance, we learn. You got to take advantage of it. It's got to be on your coffee table. It's got to be on the shida next to you. You're waiting for a bris. You're waiting for a certain time. When there's time, you take it. No reason to wake up late in order to take advantage of the extra time to be able to go and utilize that time. It's so precious. It's such a waste. Why do we have to wait to see some disastrous thing to happen before we decide? Maybe I better, like an expression that someone one time told me. When a person's sitting on his deathbed, the one thing he doesn't have charata about is he didn't spend enough hours in the office, right? And the last time when the person, ugh, I should have spent a few more hours in the office. It's one thing a person doesn't get upset about. You have to go and take advantage of those times, those precious minutes that we have. They're so short, short of you. And Baruch Hashem, they're doing a big chesed here, over here, at the Rav Sher and everybody, all the Rabbanim are able to do such a thing, to be able to keep you connected. The tekka is betoch hasheka. You're able to always keep in. You always have to make sure to keep that connection. No matter where you are, even if you have to. Many people ask, this is a very common question sometimes, you want to take two jobs. Take one job because you also want to do a startup, so you don't miss out. But if you're not connected, then you're wasting your time. Then it's ridiculous. If you're not learning every day, then it's a mistake. Then it's a mistake. You can't do such a thing. Because what's the point? What's the point of doing it? You're keeping the world going. You're keeping, like I said, they look like businessmen. Everybody looks fine in the business. Everyone's getting lunch. Everyone's being good. But you're missing the product. You can't go without the product. The product has to be intact. It has to be in place. And those are the sharashim that we try to always keep within ourselves and within our kids. Many people ask about teaching our kids and sending our kids in the beginning to the place where they learn all the time. You understand, this is it. This is the search. And the other stuff they can learn a little bit later if they need to. Understand, sometimes we need to intermix it, etc. But the reason why we do it is because when you have the product, then afterwards you can keep up the world. You can keep everything up after. You can keep it all up afterwards. But you always have to make sure not to lose the etzem zach. And that's what Rabbi Chanan was saying, Ratzon Hashem. Sometimes there's tivui Hashem, things that we know, black and white. We know the mitzvot, we know the 613. But there's ratzon Hashem. I'm doing a little bit more, and that's what everyone here is doing, besides the breakfast. I'm talking about when you're learning, you're doing a little bit extra, being able to take that extra time that you have and utilize it for the best. Okay?
Bye-bye.
What?